praise the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 12, Nehemiah 12 and verse 43. Nehemiah, of course, we've been going through this now for quite a while, not quite a year, but coming down to the end in the last few chapters of Nehemiah. Somebody asked me, said, how are you getting anything to preach out of all these genealogies and lists and everything? And well, you're seeing, I got 13 points tonight. Don't let that discourage you. Yeah, a couple who's like, oh, no. Same amount of room on the notes. Don't worry. But just some real blessings. Of course, the wall is built, and we've seen, I believe, last week we talked about dwelling in Jerusalem from Nehemiah chapter 11. And tonight we're going to talk about rejoicing in Jerusalem. And I think God's people need to rejoice a whole lot more. Honestly, I wish we would. And we see a lot of rejoicing going on here in Nehemiah 12, verse 43. It says, also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Father, I pray you bless now. Thank you for the good service thus far and just a good spirit. And we just pray that you'll help us now with the Word of God to understand some things. And especially I pray you speak to our hearts. Help us to rejoice, Lord. There's so much to rejoice about. Lord, you've done so much for us. You're so good to us. And I pray that you will help us to rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we talked about dwelling in Jerusalem and compared with the church and a lot of different things there. And Nehemiah 12 is about rejoicing. And, you know, rejoicing is certainly the result of spiritual things. And when there's when we're unspiritual, there's not a lot of rejoicing going on. When unspiritual things are happening, there's not a lot of rejoicing going on. And so you see a lot of spiritual things happening in Nehemiah chapter 12, and therefore there's going to be rejoicing. Obviously, the wall is built, and you say, well, that's, you know, that's a lot for them to rejoice about, but there's a lot of other things to rejoice about. And I've just written down 13 things, as I said. They're just different things that I notice out of the chapter, and certainly we're not going to read through all the genealogies because of trying to pronounce all the names, but I would encourage you to do so and learn some of those names. But the first thing I come to is, and everything starts off with a priesthood. Again, rejoicing is a spiritual matter. You're not going to, you say, well, I got to raise at work and that'll make you happy. But then they'll raise the gas price and your happiness is gone. You know, joy is something different. Joy is not just happiness. And the world can produce some happiness and we can see a lot of happy things, but joy is something that comes from inside and something that I believe is a spiritual thing that God gives us. And so several things I wrote down here. Number one is documentation. That's the first thing I see as we look at these lists, chapter 12 all the way through verse 23. In verse 23 it says, the sons of Levi, the chief of the fathers, were written in the book of the Chronicles even until the days of Jehanan, the son of Eliashib. And all this list here, there's documentation. It's all written. And I want you to maybe circle the little word there, written, in verse 23, because there's rejoicing in things being written down. There's a security in things being written down. If you own a house, or the bank owns a house, there's some security in that deed and having that all written down. I know this is mine. Maybe you own your own car and you made payments on it for years and now you own it and you have that title and there's your name written on there. I remember the first title that I had that was actually mine. And it was a blessing to see that title. You know, you didn't want to let go of it. Wow, I mean, I actually own this thing after making all these payments. And that documentation is such a blessing. And here we have all these names, all these priests and their different assignments that they have here. And they're all written down. It's documentation. 1 John 5:13 tells us about things that are written. And go ahead and turn there. Keep your place here in Nehemiah. We will go back and forth. 1 John 5:13, and many of you have this memorized. If you go soul winning, you use this often. But I want you to look at it and see it. These things have I written. Aren't you glad we have the written Word of God? Aren't you glad that these things are written for us? Look what he says. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. He said, I've written these things that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Just as there was documentation back in Nehemiah's day, we have some documentation. We have some things written down that will give us some assurance and help us to know that we are going to heaven. Luke 10, verse 20, and this gets back to our rejoicing. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. I like documentation, things that are written down. And the Bible says, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you. Look what he says, though. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Well, that's some good documentation there. And, you know, as in Nehemiah's day, as they looked through these genealogies, and we'll get to that in just a second as to what some of that, the idea was there. But there was rejoicing that everything's written down. There's always rejoicing over the written word of God. And certainly as Christians, we ought to rejoice that our names are written in heaven. God's written our name down. And we're going to heaven, and we have a guarantee of that because it's written. Documentation, and that's something to rejoice about. Another thing I see here is authentication, and this gets kind of more into these genealogies. Authentication, here we have the priesthood, and we have a authentication of these people and how that they were, as far as their heritage, they were allowed to be priests. There was a record kept for authentication that these could actually be priests. And they kept that record so that the priesthood was pure and it was exactly how God said that it had to be. There was authentication. And nobody had to wonder, nobody had to guess. And you know, I thought about that and I thought of 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. And you know where I'm going now. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. And the Bible talks about us as being priests. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you know, there is a record of our priesthood as well. And just as anyone that might try to step in and say, hey, I'm a priest, And he wasn't a priest. They had documentation. They had authentication that, no, you're not. You're not in the priesthood. You know what? There's a record of us as well. How do you become a priest? You become a priest by your birth and being born into the family. And isn't it wonderful how John 3 says that you must be born again? And when we trust Christ as our Savior, we're literally born into the family of God. And that makes us heirs to the priesthood. And we are that by birth, by being born again. And besides that, our names, as we mentioned, are written in the book of life. And so, again, there's rejoicing. You say, well, I'm going through a tough time. You know, things just aren't so good. But the people here, they had some documentation. They said, hey, we've got all these names. We've got all these people. And it's all written down. And we have some things written down, too. We have the Word of God written down. And we have authentication that, hey, I'm a child of the King. And it's written down in heaven. I don't have to worry. The devil may give me a hard time. The devil may confuse me a little bit. But my name is written down. God knows all about it. He knows me. He knows what I've done, and there is certainly authentication. Then I go on, and I see the word, and I think of inspiration. And verse 24, it says something interesting. It says, and the chief of the Levites, Hashabiah, Sherebiah, and Jeshua, the son of Kadmiel, with their brethren over against them, to praise and to give thanks according to the commandment of David, the man of God. Ward over against ward, according to the commandment of David, the man of God. There's inspiration. David's been gone for a long time. David's no longer there, no longer giving commands, but they were still following the inspiration, the commandment of David. They respected him that much. Look, if you will, back at 2 Chronicles 8 and verse 14, and it talks about this this division that took place here. 2 Chronicles 8 and verse 14. It says, and he appointed according to the order of David. There it is again. his father, the courses of the priests to their service and the Levites to their charges, to praise and minister before the priests as the duty of every day required, the porters also by their courses at every gate, for so had David the man of God commanded. And they're still following that. And they're staying with that. They're saying, hey, here's a leader. Here's somebody we looked up to. Here's somebody who gave a command. And we need to continue to be inspired by him. We need to listen to him. You know, there's a lot of modern ideas, a lot of new ideas and everything. But isn't it wonderful that we can go back to some of the old timers and find out what they did and find out what they said and do some of those things? What a blessing it is to have that inspiration alive and well in books that we read. And I love the Sword of the Lord and Revival Fires and some of the old sermons. You know, they were looking back at David and saying, hey, we're going to do this like David did. We see it again, actually, in verses 45 and 46, this division that David had commanded. Both the singers and the porters kept the ward of their God and the ward of the purification according to the commandment of David and of Solomon his son. For in the days of David and Asaph of old, there were chief of the singers and songs of praise and thanksgiving unto God. And again, they said, hey, David commanded this. Let's keep doing it. It was a good idea. It worked. It was the right thing. Look at Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Hebrews 13 and verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. But I like these three words, and I couldn't get them out of my mind. Whose faith follow. You know, thank God there's people we can follow. There's people that have done it. There's people that have run buses. There's people that have had ministries like ours. There's people that have gone soul winning. There's people who have taken a stand. There's people who have been persecuted. You don't have to sit here tonight and think, I'm all alone in my trial. I'm the only one that's going. No. There's people that you can follow. There's somebody that's gone ahead of you. And if there's no human you could think of, there's nobody as far as in a book that you read or in history books or anything like that. Hey, Jesus was tempted in all points such as we are, yet without sin. And we always have someone. We always have someone that has inspired us. And we ought to let them continue to inspire us as they did here. And I like that as I was reading through this, how that they said, we're going to do it according to David. There's documentation. There's authentication. There's inspiration. Number four, there's dedication. And that's really what this celebration is all about. Verse 27, it says, at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites. So they're bringing all the Levites together. They're finding all of the priesthood. They're bringing all the because they're going to have a dedication. A dedication. At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem. So remember, we talked about all the little communities and the little towns all around the city of Jerusalem and out in the countryside. And they're bringing all of them in to keep the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And there's dedication. And you know, where there's dedication, it's going to be a time of rejoicing. And they're bringing the Levites together. And they're going to give the wall to God. Dedication. It's what we do on Mother's Day. We could do it another day, but most of the time we do it on Mother's Day when parents dedicate their children. And really what they're doing is dedicating themselves to rearing their children right. I mean, it's not a matter, and maybe, you know, in their way of looking at it, they're giving their child to God. But in reality, it is them saying, hey, we dedicate ourselves to rearing our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, or this particular child. It's a giving back to God and giving themselves to God to rear these children right. And I've been with people who dedicated their home as far as their house. They've just bought a house. I've been with folks who wanted to dedicate a car, perhaps, or something to the Lord. But the best dedication, obviously, is when we give ourselves to God. As I said in Sunday school this morning, you know, the one Christmas gift. And you know, we're talking about a snowblower, and we're talking about storm windows and all these different things. But the one very, very, very best Christmas gift to give to God is, he says, my son, give me thine heart. Give me your heart. And you talk about a dedication, giving God our heart. Look, this is what the rejoicing was all about, this dedication. Hey, it's time to dedicate the wall, to present this wall that we've built, that surrounds our city. It's time to dedicate it to the Lord. And that's what all this rejoicing is about. You know, it's sad that so many times people have an attitude when somebody stands up and says, you know, I've surrendered my life to the Lord. There's always somebody that says, oh, that's a shame. Because it's not a shame. It is a wonderful thing. Well, you know, you're just emotional. No. Everybody should dedicate their life to the Lord. Everybody should surrender to the Lord. We act sometimes like that's some strange thing and it's some kind of a different thing. But in reality, every believer should say, you know, God, my life is yours. I dedicate my life to you. And again, this dedication was rejoicing. And by the way, without dedication, what is there to rejoice about? Without us saying, God, I give you my life, there's not a whole lot to rejoice about. It's like I preached this morning. That fallow ground, all it brings forth is thorns and thistles and weeds. Dedication, lots of rejoicing, presenting ourselves to God and dedicating as they did here as they present the wall. And by the way, if folks can get all excited about a wall, you'd think we could get excited about the things that we dedicate to the Lord. It's like offering time. You know, it's an exciting time. It's actually a worship time, a time of saying, God, I love you. God, I trust you. God, I believe you. And anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent here. But there is documentation. There's authentication. There's inspiration. There's dedication. All of these are bringing about rejoicing. And then number five, there's consecration. Consecration. You know, when you give something to God, you need to recognize that it's Him, that it's His. You know, how many times have I been involved in a church situation or heard of a church situation where somebody says, well, we're leaving the church and we're going to take the steeple. You take the steeple? Well, yeah, we gave it. Well, gave is the key word there. I mean, gave is, I've heard that kind of stuff. And you know, well, you know, we gave those offering plates and we're going somewhere else and we're taking, no, gave. Gave. And, you know, we understand that with steeples, and it'd be exciting, and offering plates and things like that. But isn't it amazing how we want to take ourselves back many times? Because, you know, we'll give something to God here at the altar, and we'll want to take it back. Consecration is to recognize, God, this is yours. This wall, they're saying, this is God's wall. It is for Him. It is for His use. We're not our own. We're bought with a price. And therefore, we should glorify God in our body and spirit, which are His. They are God's. Consecration. We belong to Him. Consecration of our properties, our vehicles, all of that. It belongs to Him. It does not belong to you. You put money in an offering plate, that's not yours. That is His. And it belongs to Him. You put yourself on an altar and say, God, I give you myself. I give you me, my life. Then again, you're saying, God, I recognize that I'm yours. By the way, you are anyway. You are bought with a price. Consecration. I see it here as they are dedicating this wall to the Lord. But then we come to number six, and that's purification. And the Bible says that in verse 30 it says, and the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people and the gates and the wall. And so if everything is going to be His, and if that wall is going to be His and those gates are going to be His, if they belong to Him, they're going to have to be pure. They're going to have to be a clean vessels. They're going to have to be pure. And so, obviously, again, the ceremony is the purification and literally going about the whole wall and purifying it. But notice what they purified first. It says the priests and the Levites purified themselves. That was first. Then they purified the people, then the gates, and then the wall. Again, what good is a pure wall without pure people behind it? Purification, to make holy. And if it's for God, it needs to be made holy. And they purified themselves, the people, the gates, the wall, pure individuals, pure organization, pure property. That's why we don't rent out our property to dances and different people, or we don't rent out the fellowship hall to different wedding groups and all that. Again, we try to keep it pure. We don't rent out, and again, if we had a gym, we wouldn't rent it out to any group to use as they saw fit, because again, we're trying to keep it pure. But again, if the property, if we think that much of our buildings, how much more our bodies, which are the Lord's? Hey, is your life pure? Is your life pure? Have again, this purification. You say, that's what God expects. As we're talking about in Sunday school class, be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. And, as I preached this morning, you know your life better than anybody. Not better than God, but better than any other human being. You know your life. Could you say tonight that yes, I am a vessel fit for the Master's use? If God wanted to reach for me and grab me like the illustration so often given of a glass on a shelf, and he reaches and, oh, the glass is all dirty, is that what God would find with my life, with your life? Is that what? Or would he reach up and there would be a glass that's fit, prepared, ready, meet for the Master's use? Purification to make holy. Again, if it's going to be consecrated to God, if it's going to be His, if we've dedicated it to Him, then it ought to be pure. Number 7 is appreciation. Verses 31 to 40 talk about a group, and it says, "Then I brought up the princes of Judah upon the wall, and appointed 2 great companies of them that gave thanks, whereof one went on the right hand upon the wall toward the dung gate, and after them went Hoshaiah and half of the princes of Judah." And then it goes in and it talks about how on top of the wall, these two groups, they met in one place, and then they went around the wall thanking the Lord and praising the Lord. I love that. That is so good. Appreciation. Thanking God. By the way, thankful people know how to rejoice. Because again, rejoicing, praising, it all ties together. And if in our hearts tonight we don't appreciate what God has done, maybe we're still struggling because of the election, or we're struggling because of the economy, or whatever it is. You know, if you lack that appreciation, you're going to have a hard time rejoicing. These people are on top of that wall, and they're marching around that wall, and they're praising God. They're thanking God. They're appreciating what God has done. And they thank the Lord and praise the Lord over the whole wall. Why? God gave them the whole thing. God provided the whole thing. God protected them the whole time. I've told the story. We were trying to buy a building back in Bern, Indiana. Well, it's the building they're in now, and it was going to take an absolute miracle. And I'll never forget when we were meeting on a Sunday night, had a church service, and I was talking about how we wanted to make an offer on that building, and it just seemed impossible. And one of the fellows said, "Pastor," he said, "you preached about marching around the walls of Jericho." He said, "Let's go march around that thing and claim it." And I'll never forget it. It was about 45 degrees that night, not real cold, but cool enough. And we I said, "Well, I don't know," and everybody, "Yeah, amen, hallelujah, glory." You know, and I'm thinking, well, I guess we better go do it. And so we went out to that property, and a Sunday night after church, it was dark by now, and the ladies stayed with some of the kids, and many of the people, children came out, and we all assembled there in that parking lot. And all of a sudden, one of the guys, he said, "Well, shouldn't we take off our shoes? This is holy ground." I said, "It's also rocky ground." But sure enough, there we are, taking our shoes off. And what did we do? We marched around that building just praising God. We had such a good time. And it was so fun. It was so exciting because everybody was praising God together. Did we have the building? No, it wasn't ours. No, we were still meeting in a storefront building. But you know, it was just the idea of praising God. And again, praising God, whether we got it or not, just because God is so good. And He is good. Appreciation. You know, so many don't understand rejoicing because you don't understand appreciation. You've forgotten from whence you came. You've forgotten, what happened when God saved you and gave you a new life. You've forgotten. And when we forget that, we don't appreciate what God's done. And I believe the people here on these walls, as they marched around, they thank God for victory. They thank God for security. They're marching on those walls that had been broken down before. They're thanking God for the future and what He's doing. You know, no matter how bad everything looks, there's so much to thank God for today. I was telling the men in the men's prayer time, the Labutes right now, it's a tough time for them. I'm telling you, it's not as tough now as it was when we were down in Florida and they called. And I mean, it looked impossible. Now it doesn't look so impossible. Now it looks like, you know what, I think this is going to work out. Still tough. But you know, the day is going to come where they look back and they realize what all God did. You know that. You know how it's been in your own life. You've seen it. You've watched it. Hey, when is the last time you just stopped and praised God for what He's done? Amen. You know, we have let the charismatics scare us away from what God's people have always done. And that's just praise the Lord and thank Him for all that He's done. Appreciation was certainly a part of the rejoicing here. Number 8 is reconciliation. And I like this in verse 43. I read it a little bit earlier. But verse 43, it says, "Also that day they offered great sacrifices." And in my mind, I imagine all the sacrifices being offered. And certainly a part of that was getting right and staying right with God. Because remember, the reason the walls were broken down in the first place was because of the captivity, and that was because of sin. And the people said, "God, we want to be reconciled to You. We want to be right with You. We want to stay right with You." And again, they're rejoicing. You know, people rejoice when they're right with God. People are sad when they're not. People are sad. I mean, people cannot rejoice. And it's like, what are you laughing about? What are you smiling about? What are you joking about? And every now and then, you know, you have a surge. Kind of like tonight, you know, there was a little bit of cutting up in the beginning and Brother Kelvin had his brain freeze or whatever it was. And we were all laughing. I promise you, there's somebody sitting there going, "I don't think it's funny." Listen to me. If you are right with God and trying to do right with God, so many things are funny. And you're allowed to laugh. Do you know God's people do laugh? Do you know in heaven we're going to laugh a lot? We're going to have a good time in heaven. I'm serious about that. And it's not what we think, you know, where everybody just kind of... Well, there's going to be a lot of joy. And this reminds me a lot of the joy I believe we're going to see. Reconciliation, that we could be right with God. That we could be reconciled with God, who because of our sin we became His enemy, but now we're His friend. Reconciliation, the sacrificial system. And by the way, they did it all on His terms. The whole sacrificial system was on His terms. Why? Because man couldn't be reconciled to God on his own. God had to come up with a plan, just as God sent His Son to die on a cross to pay for our sins. It's all God's plan and not our own. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But God gave a plan, and they followed that plan, and there was reconciliation. Thank God we could follow that plan. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And by salvation, by the blood of Christ, we can be reconciled. And we can stay right with God because of the blood of Christ. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God for reconciliation. Thank God you can be right with God tonight. Nobody has to leave not right with God. Nobody has to leave at odds with God. Nobody has to leave thinking, you know, "I think God's very upset with me." No, all you have to do is get it right with Him. And that's available through His blood. Reconciliation. I also see in these sacrifices adoration. And by the way, you'll see that with rejoicing too. Just letting God know how much you love Him. When is the last time you told God you loved Him? I mean, you just told Him you loved Him. Brother Caleb, I've prayed with him several times since he's been here, and he always ends his prayer with, "I love You, Jesus." Always does. Always does. I found myself the other day ending one of my prayers, "I love You, Jesus." I said, "Where'd that come?" "That's Caleb." "But you know what, Jesus? I really do love You." Heard one of our teenagers the other day. He prayed, and he said, "I love You, Jesus." So I wonder where he got that. But you know what? Why not tell Him you love Him? You kind of like to hear it from your spouse, don't you? Phyllis, you really got into that, didn't you? You know, we like to hear it from other people. We like to hear it from our kids. Hey, listen, our Father wants to hear it from us too. adoration. You know, in the sacrificial system, there's a way that says, I love you, Lord. Propitiation appeases God's wrath. It's saying, God, I love you. I love you. I love you. And that appeases God's wrath. You know, how many times have your children, they've done something wrong, and all of a sudden they start buttering you up. You know, probably happens to Larry all the time. And anyway, but and they start to, you know, oh, you're the greatest, you're wonderful, and you're the best dad in all the world, and I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. However many times I need to say it, I love you. Please don't punish me. You know, I'm telling you, there's some adoration in those sacrifices. I think about the sweet savor sacrifices, and I think of God in heaven going, they love me. They're thankful. Adoration. You know, the people are rejoicing. And where there's no love, there's no rejoicing. You know, if you don't love God tonight, if you're struggling with that tonight because of sin or because of whatever's going on in your life, you're going to have a hard time rejoicing. The folks here, they're rejoicing. They're rejoicing so much that the neighboring communities could hear them. That's having a pretty good time. Adoration. Number 10 is celebration. And that's what I just made reference to. In verse 27, the Bible says, and at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought the Levites out of all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to keep the dedication. Notice, with gladness, both with thanksgivings, with singing, with cymbals, psalteries, and with harps. And then in verse 43, it says, also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. Now, that doesn't mean God said, you will rejoice, or I will punish you. It means God gave that joy that He gives. That joy that has nothing to do with circumstances. That joy that has nothing to do with how you feel. That joy that has nothing to do with what everybody else is saying. That joy that God gives. That's the joy, the fruit of the Spirit. It's His joy. And God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced. And look at their joy. So that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. That's quite the celebration. To me, that's a testimony that reaches all over. It's a testimony that, hey, here's some rejoicing. By the way, when people hear griping, that's common. That's common. You hear griping at work, that's common. Well, not at Berean Baptist Academy. But you work at a factory, you work in many businesses, and somebody starts griping, you know, it doesn't even catch your attention. But what about when somebody's rejoicing? You know, I mean, don't your ears perk up when somebody says, wow, praise the Lord, what a beautiful day. You know, I mean, that causes you to kind of take notice. You know, the world takes notice, too, when we're rejoicing. They don't take notice when we're complaining. That's the common thing. But, boy, you start rejoicing. You start praising the Lord. Somebody said something about the election out of some business that I was in and said something about it, and I said, well, praise the Lord. They said, well, I didn't think you'd be happy about that. I said, I'm happy about everything. My God's in control of everything. Nothing catches Him off guard. You know, again, celebration. Celebration. That rejoicing is a great testimony to the rest of the world. Again, I'm not talking about happiness. I mean, everybody gets excited when they get a raise. Everybody gets excited when the doctor says, you don't have to diet anymore. Glory to God. Somehow I don't think I'm ever going to hear that. Everybody gets excited when all these you know, the kids come home and they made straight A's. I mean, everybody's excited about that. But I'm talking about when inside you're rejoicing, even though things are just not going the way you thought they should. There's a celebration, and it's involves rejoicing. And it's what a wonderful testimony to the rest of the world. Number 11 is participation. And I love this in verse 43 because it says, God had made them rejoice with great joy, the wives also and the children rejoice. Everybody's rejoicing, the whole family, everybody. Isn't that wonderful? Every now and then you'll see a family, you know, and nobody smiles. You know, the frown family. And I think, boy, they're missing it. They're missing it, you know. You know, I mean, nobody smiles. Everybody's just kind of,
And, well, they're just obedient.
Yeah, they're not obeying what I'm seeing in the Scripture. There needs to be some rejoicing somewhere and some big old smiles and some big old grins and participation, the wives and the children. You know, church is a family affair. And that's why it's so good when a father and daughter sing. And that's why it's good when families, and many do, go out on a bus route and they work together in serving the Lord and go soul winning together. And we see that. And participation, rejoicing together. You know, no wonder young people sometimes think, you know, the ministry just doesn't seem exciting. Everybody seems grumpy. That is not the way it should be. It should be rejoicing. Participation, number 12, delegation. Here in verse 44, at that time were some appointed over the chambers for the treasures, for the offerings, for the first fruits, for the tithes, to gather into them out of the fields of the cities the portions of the law for the priests and Levites. For Judah rejoiced for the priests and for the Levites that waited. And here we have delegation. Some were appointed. And God's appointments, God appoints us to do different jobs, that God would choose us to do anything. Isn't it a blessing that you can serve God? Isn't it a blessing that we can do things? It was a blessing yesterday. I was able to take some plates of food to some dear shepherd people and serve them. That was a blessing. I didn't get to do too much. We had such a long line of people doing it. Amen? You know, such a long line of people that other than cheating every now and then, cutting ahead, which I did a couple of times, Gabby kept cutting in front of me. But isn't that good that everybody's fighting not to get their own plate, but to be able to serve somebody else? And you know, what a blessing that is. What rejoicing that is that God would appoint us to do something for Him. That's such a good thing and such an amazing thing when you think about what we really are. Delegation, the last thing, is cooperation. And in verse 47, all Israel in the days of Zerubbabel, in the days of Nehemiah, gave the portions of the singers and the porters every day his portion. And they sanctified holy things unto the Levites, and the Levites sanctified them unto the children of Aaron. And as we've seen throughout the book of Nehemiah, the people work together. They just work together in unity. There's nothing like unity with God's people. And that of all places, that's where it should be the most obvious. We have the same Father, the same Spirit, same book. Amen. And the cooperation is the people worked together to get the job done. What a blessing. What a blessing. And, you know, they saw the wall built. They learned how they were going to all dwell, some in the city, some on the outside. And here, in a whole chapter, we see the rejoicing, the celebration, as the wall is being dedicated, as the people are dedicating themselves. You know, I would encourage every one of us that I'm just not getting such a thrill out of Christianity. These areas right here, if you look at them, maybe something's missing. Maybe you've not dedicated your life. Maybe there's not the appreciation there should be. Maybe things aren't right between you and God. I guarantee, when I'm not right with God, I'm not rejoicing a whole lot. Really. And you know, these are the things, I believe, that at least that stood out to me in reference to this passage of Scripture that I hope it will be a blessing to each and every one of you. Let's all bow our heads.